The reading of God's holy word is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. This is the word of Almighty God.
Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we surrender ourselves to you as we express our love for you and our mothers on this day. We thank you for those mothers yet with and others who left us too soon. We remain together linked by the umbilical cord through eternity. Amen. Happy Mother's Day on this beautiful, I think I can say sunny, but also chilly day. Please do me the kindness and stand. All mothers, please stand. Let us give them all a round of applause. Please be seated. We can never celebrate you, honor you, compensate you, and love you enough for the enormity of your gift of life to us. I guess without you, there would never have been any of us. We thank you for this day, the day that made all of us. We give you thanks for our family, for our church, our community, and our world. Every flower you receive, you deserve. Our mothers bring us into the world and at their best nurture us, tutor us, empower us, comfort us, lead us, and teach us wisdom, grace, determination, and persistence. They teach us in real terms about a quality of love that is endless, unconditional, just, and kind. More than a father's love, God's love is more akin to that of a mother for her children, even mothers that have had issues of their own and wrestled with how to love their child, strive to feed, meet this quality of love. Today is rich in its history, tender in its texture, and pervasive in its love. Last year, as we gathered to celebrate this momentous day, a tragedy was wounding the hearts and souls of mothers and fathers in the nation of Nigeria. Over 230 schoolgirls between the ages of 12 and 15 had been abducted by Boko Haram that claimed to be Islamists. A virtual campaign, Bring Our Girls Back, galvanized the international community, and there was international attention. Prayers and actions to bring the girls back home safely were initiated. The whereabouts of the girls were unknown to authorities, and there was speculation of iniquitous acts of rape, the sale of young women, and unconscionable savage behavior that God only knows, and perhaps only God can forgive. Just a few days ago, the International Business Times reported that 234 women were recently rescued by the Nigerian army from Boko Haram, and that 214 of the women are pregnant. And furthermore, that the vast number of female victims abducted by the clan were forced into sexual slavery and also trained to fight. It is out of a sense of mother's love, persistence, struggle, and tangible hope for the future of their children that we meet here today. It is also because of the hope that Julia Ward Howe had when she founded the Women's Peace Association, the precursor of Mother's Day, as a protest against the institution of war, in particular the American Civil War and the Franco-Prussian War. It is estimated that at least 2/3 of a million lives were lost in both wars. And Julia Ward Howe insists that our sons should not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. The genesis of Mother's Day is attributed to Anna Jarvis to honor her mother, Anna Reeves Jarvis, who died on the 9th of May, 1905. In 1908, Anna M. Jarvis, a Methodist laywoman, launched a campaign for the creation of an official Mother's Day that is observed on the second Sunday in May. And you know as well as I do that often omitted is that it was also to be a day not only to honor mothers, but a day to honor peace. And today's scripture tells us, while he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, who is my mother and my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. There are a few observations I would like to make about this sacred text. First, there is no reference to the father being outside. We don't know if Joseph was alive or whether he was dead. What we do know with some certitude is that mother was outside, and so were blood brothers and sisters. And Matthew tells us when he, Jesus, had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Jesus had blood brothers and sisters. Could it be that this itinerant preacher or teacher, and I would prefer to say rabbi, so pedestrian and gifted, so much son of man and yet son of God, was so focused on doing God's work that his precociousness of his earlier years manifested itself? You would recall that at 12 years of age, Jesus went to Jerusalem with his parents for the Passover. Instead of leaving with them to Nazareth, he stayed behind talking with the teachers in the temple. When they found him, he responded to his mother's question, saying, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Second, I want to say something about Mary, insofar that the gospel narrative points to her directly. Mary is the vehicle of God's incarnational activity. Mary said over and over again, "Yes, Lord, anything you ask, I will do. I surrender my life to you, and I'm prepared to accept all the consequences." We really don't know very much about her parenting skills. What we do know is that she cared a lot and stuck close to her son, even at the cross. You may have heard the Jewish proverb that says, God could not be everywhere, and therefore God made mothers. God could not be everywhere, therefore God made mothers. It's not my intention to leave fathers out of the mix. The Gospels don't. The Gospels say that his parents were looking for him, so I need not say any more. Joseph was, I believe, a good father. However, a mother is a vehicle of grace and deserves more respect than is attributed to them on the media, no matter how irresponsible they may have been in making wrong choices. There is a song from the days of my youth with which you are all familiar, called "Let It Be," by John Lennon, John Winston, Carl McCartney, Paul James, and as you know, they were called the Beatles. I lived a few blocks away from them in London, and for some reason, I never really liked their music all that much. And on the other hand, all the girls were flocking for the Beatles. So those of us who were around, we didn't care that much for the Beatles. But some of the lyrics of the song "Let It Be" go something like this. "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. And when all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. A mother is a vehicle of grace. And more importantly for us as the believing community, a vehicle of God's grace. Mothers love before the child can love back. The tenderness of grace, the sweetness of grace, it's all about grace, it's all about love. We love God because God first loved us. There is a simple message that our culture has to embrace, which is that simply having children does not make one a mother. There is support and guidance, but not approval of everything a child does. And it is tough. Those who are not loved may not have the capacity to love. The Reverend Sloan Coffin of the Riverside Church in New York said this. He said, "Children are the anchors that hold us to life." A few weeks ago, amidst the flames of Baltimore, there was an encounter between a mother and her son that went viral. It reminded me of the fact that in every generation, there will be young people seeking meaning and opportunity against the tyranny of poverty, against whatever ways it manifests itself. And a few weeks ago, I was talking to Harold, and Harold told me of how he came to Los Angeles and how they all got into a car. And he said, "I just don't know how we did it, but we all got all our stuff in the car and headed in this direction." It's remarkable that people simply were guided not simply by impulse, because some had gone ahead and just knew the territory, and people moved for opportunity. But I recall meeting Coretta King at the Commonwealth Institute in London several years ago, and there she recited a poem. And the poem was called "Mother to Son" by the beloved poet Langston Hughes. And it goes something like this. "Well, son, I'll tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal star. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps 'cause you finds it kinda hard. Don't you fall now. For I's still going, honey. I's still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal steer." Third, the gospel narrative tells us that Jesus redefined parenting. What it means to be a mother, what it means to be a brother, what it means to be a sister, what it means to be in the kingdom of God movement. But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sister, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The fact that Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of my Father," and he was not talking about the household affairs of Joseph, was indicative of the fact that some did not do the will of the Father. The will of my Father. What is it? It is the practice of goodness. It is the practice of righteousness. And it is the practice of love that has been exhibited by all the mothers gathered here, by all the mothers of the world who try, in spite of whatever difficulties, to love and to care. And the scripture tells us that whoever pursues the will of God will receive an inheritance, and that inheritance is eternal life. Have a blessed Mother's Day. Amen. The mothers have been recognized. You have your flowers. I think last year I suggested that if you're taken out to lunch, order lobster. it is your day. And if there is any money that is given to you in those envelopes, make sure that the heads of the dead presidents are the ones that we don't see very often on, I think it is $20 notes. So anyhow, this is your day, mothers. But this is a day for the community to rejoice. So let us stand and join together in our closing hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing My Great Redeemer's Praise," and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 7.